Recently, as I entertained a variety of friends and acquaintances, many of whom are employed in publishing in the arts, at my modest yet comfortable summer estate in Malta, it occurred to me that I am almost definitely the greatest writer of my time. I strained to think of others who could challenge my position, but they were too provincial, too tweedy, or too dead. No, I towered above the corroded wreckage that is American letters. In the course of working on this book, my editor came to agree with me. He wanted to include nothing but my best pieces, but the choosing proved too difficult. We debated, drank heartily, fist fought over women, and always with a similar culmination. All the pieces were biting, evanescent. Each one forwarded the next, and no matter in what order I presented them, they illuminated the oft-mawkish, pungent carnival that is our life on this planet. "Quite simply," said my editor as we shared a sampling of that delectable weed, marijuana, "your work represents a comprehensive social, cultural, and political portrait of humanity in the latter half of the 20th century. It is a Sunday buffet of prose upon which your readers will feast mightily." He forgot to add that it also contains some great sex scenes. As I reread the bulk of my work in the course of the 3 weeks it took me to put this collection together, I was reminded of something the immortal bard once wrote in his play about merchants and about Venice. "Thou art too wild, too rude and bold of voice, parts that become thee happily enough, and in such eyes as ours appear not faults." How true that is about most books, but not about mine, for the triumphs and tragedies of humanity fall under my jurisdiction, into the humble grab bag of erudition that is me. By now, my biography is familiar to everyone who has read the advance press. My grandfather was an esteemed senator from Texas. Through the marriages of various relatives, I came to be related to the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, the Hefners, and William Shawn, the former editor of The New Yorker, whose stewardship kept that magazine of magazines afloat. At 17, after a brilliant Harvard career, I sailed to the South Pacific, where I killed people in the service of empire. Upon returning, my first novel, Killing People in the Service of Empire, won the National Book Award. My 3 subsequent books, each about a different era of history, were highly experimental. The first was fiction, the next journalism, and the last poetry. All of them changed literature forever, until the next book, which changed literature forever again. I then wrote my own version of the Bible, which sold well and was adapted into a Tony Award-winning musical. In 1978, I began weekly broadcasts of American Tapestry, the Peabody Award-winning show that created modern radio. But perhaps I ramble. Is it really appropriate to refer to this world as my world? To the time I have lived as my time? Why the hell not, you might ask, and please ask away, my friends. For when I began my career so many decades ago, as a simple hack with a pen, notebook, and ample trust fund, I had no idea what I would encounter. I had never seen a revolution or an execution, never breathed the salty peninsular air of Patagonia, or snorted an electric line of rock off the pulsating ass of a porn star. Now I have experienced all those things, but I still feel, inside, like the little boy that FDR once called era transforming. In 1968, speaking simultaneously at the RAND Institute's conference on extending the war in Vietnam and the People's Park Mudbath Fuck-In, I had this to say about myself. There is no reason to believe that I am not the greatest writer who has ever lived. The world holds no mystery that I cannot solve, no dilemma that I cannot understand. It is as if I am everywhere and nowhere at once, yet still have time to meet you for lunch. Of course you have questions. Who doesn't? What is the nature of love? Why is there a moon? How do we endure? It is my job to deal with these unholy predicaments, because I can, and because people pay me to. If there is one rule in writing, it is this: I am the best. The pieces contained within this volume have a complex organization. They are neither chronological nor thematic, yet they necessarily contain elements of both chronology and theme. Like other writers who craft postmodern narratives, Cortázar, Calvino, Gaddis, among others, my work operates with an internal logic. This book is a post-Joycean, post-Proustian journey into the one thing that no other living writer, other than me, can explore. The truth about the ultimate destiny of the human soul. For no matter what I have seen in my life, the war, hunger, misery, broken promises, and forgotten love, one thing has remained steadfast. Myself. Throughout my life, I have been there. Go then, my noble readers. Explore this book with your minds, with your hearts, and with your friends. It will stir your blood and shake your bones. If on my book tour I have occasion to meet or even sleep with you, let my astonishing meditative and narrative powers give you fortitude when I have motored on to the next American hamlet. From the earliest piece collected here, written when I was still an unsophisticated virgin living in Paris, to the last, written approximately 5 minutes ago, this book is your world and mine. The interlocking lattice of history and style and the sluice pipe of destiny have merged our private lives with our political selves, all attached by the word of words, that most mysterious word of all, money.